Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this third Sunday of Lent. I'm Barbara Little with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss our Gospel from St. John and read and discuss the Word of Life for March. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. Serving well over 150 homeless adults per day, the Mother Teresa Shelter, a day shelter for the homeless at 513 Sam Rankin, offers rehabilitation as a primary goal. The shelter offers a drug and alcohol-free environment from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m., 5 days a week. Comprehensive community-based outreach services are also available to help these individuals stabilize their lives. The shelter offers rest, snacks, needed clothing, toiletries, a library, lockers, shower and laundry facilities, phone and internet service to help with family communications, and job opportunities, first aid, job counseling, and other assistance to help the homeless return to living productive lives. In the words of St. Teresa of Calcutta, affectionately called Mother Teresa, "Do what you can do." To volunteer, donate, or hear more, please call the shelter, 361-883-7372. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Fine, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Same, I hope, for all of our listeners out there.
Yes. Well, our gospel today is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
We'd like to, before we start, just to say that some of you who attend a Catholic Mass this morning, if there are RCIA people, the elect, who are preparing for baptism, you may hear a different set of readings, because when the people who are preparing for baptism on Easter, called the elect now after being introduced into the church through the RCIA process, you may be hearing the reading, you will be hearing the readings from Cycle A. So if your readings are different, then but this is the normal cycle that we're in, that we're using today. So just that clarification in case people hear this and then go to church and hear something else.
And but think that the bishop got it wrong.
Yeah, so that's, or the pastor.
Let's right.
Got it wrong. Somebody
yeah,
got it wrong.
Right, exactly.
But anyway, okay.
Thank you, Bishop.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since the Passover was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip of cords and drove them out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take these out of here, and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this they answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." They said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all, and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, as I was preparing for this, I had read that, of course, this Gospel from John's about the cleansing of the temple in Jerusalem. And the other three Gospels, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they put that more toward the end of his ministry, this particular gospel, and John does it in the beginning of his public ministry, and he's a little bit more graphic about what's going on, and he was very graphic.
Right, yeah. And a couple of things. I think one of the things, a misreading this for several people is always a justification of anger. I mean, I can get angry because Jesus got angry. Well, mm-hmm. That's a very short-sighted interpretation of this. The main underlying reason for this was taking advantage of the poor who were coming to purchase certain animals for their sacrifice. And these, from the way I understand it, having been there, that the way it was explained, that these money changers were really taking advantage of them, of the poor, in their need to offer sacrifice in the temple. So Jesus's heart was really with the poor and not to take advantage of them. So that created this sense of urgency for him. But also in abusing the poor, then his father's house is also being taken advantage of in the sense of the marketplace. So, I mean, there's a lot of explanations which I'm not prepared to talk about or able to talk about. But basically, I think when you think of it in terms of these are God's people and they're being taken advantage of. But the second thing is Jesus is really, and St. John is pointing to himself. He's really talking about the temple of his own body. And he wants to start preparing people, and especially his apostles and disciples, for his own resurrection. Destroy this temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. His body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, is all of our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. But to destroy it, and it will be raised on the third day. So again, it's pointing to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
Well, and also, it seemed like so many different encounters with Jesus, people started to follow him because of his miracles and signs. And I had read that John wanted us to really focus on an encounter with Jesus.
Right. It has to be personal. And I think this is certainly something that that all of us need to be aware of who follow Jesus. We'll speak about that in the second portion as well, but that it is a personal encounter. You know, and that's what, again, Lent, pointing back to Lent, is to help us to reevaluate many things. It's not just about following certain religious or pious practices in life, because we can do that all our life and not really encounter him. So the people that you're speaking of here being attracted to signs and miracles, which, you know, helped and assisted people in need, but that's not why he came. That was not the ultimate reason that he came. It certainly flows from the meaning of his presence in our world, which is to bring God's love and mercy to all. But that happened through the fact that he gave his life. He sacrificed himself in death and rose from the dead. So it's in that spirit of Jesus who did all of these things, that he wants us to encounter him in death and resurrection. And that's because his mission was to really enter into our situation. And our situation as human beings of all times is that we have fallen, I'll say, prey to sin, but certainly sin is a part of our life, which is a death to the true self, the death of the true self. And so to die to that and to come to life, so we call it the Paschal mystery, passing from death to life, from sadness to joy, from hopelessness to great hope, to a lack of love and loneliness to love, to come out of ourselves. That's the pattern. Jesus entered into that world, as we spoke about the temptations at the beginning of Lent, that he entered into that so that he could pull us with himself to the new life. And so he's really pointing here to the temple of himself, that resurrection is the gift that is possible for all of us, not to live a life that is dead in sin or just in our own pious practices or just following rules, but to come to life. And that's through passing into Christ through listening to his word, as we keep saying over and over, service to our brothers and sisters, and really listening to the voice of God inside.
Mm-hmm. So the and that's, as you mentioned before, you know, Lent should focus on this authentic desire for an encounter with the divine. So right. It's not being following because of the miracles or what, but just and that comes with being quiet and with listening.
Right. And it also comes, you know, last week, the second reading that we didn't really speak about in our program last week, but is that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is something that creates a solid foundation for us, that nothing can separate us from God's love. So just following certain practices and certain realities, or being attracted to just the externals of life, doesn't really take us to the core, as you're speaking of here, the core of the presence of God in our life, the presence of Jesus in our life. But being convinced that nothing can take us away from his love, then as we experience the depths of life, the negative side of life, we might say, well, there's hope for resurrection. Today, in our readings, the second reading is a beautiful reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. In the last part of it, he says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." And all of that points, again, to the power of God, that what we think is human wisdom, what we think is truth, God's is beyond that. Mm. I think it was Pope Francis or one recently has said, when you think you understand God, you don't. When you think you know God's love, you don't. Because it's so beyond us. We can never reach it, but we can also live it. We can accept it. We can move toward it. And this is why Jesus wants to draw us to himself. And as he said in his message of Lent, which at the beginning of Lent, I just found this particular part so beautiful and so moving, is Lent is a favorable time for letting Christ serve us so that we in turn may become more like him. So it's entering into this relationship, as you mentioned. It's not just the externals of certain signs and things, people looking for signs and looking for external miracles and these things, but it's this personal one-on-one with the Lord, with the risen Christ, that really convinces me, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so to know that Christ's wisdom, the wisdom of the cross, the wisdom of death and resurrection, is much stronger, is much more wise than anything I can figure out with my limited abilities as a human being.
And our encounter is different for all of us.
Right.
My encounter will be different than yours. You know,
sure.
It's different.
Right. Yeah. It's our different circumstances, but certainly the Jesus is the same for all
of
us, and he's there for everyone. He's not there for just a select or an elite group of people who think a certain way. He's there for the sinner. He said the doctor, the healthy people don't need the doctor. The sinful do. The sinners do, which means all of us. And probably the graver the sin in our life, the more we need him. And to stay close to him is certainly our way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for March. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
It's almost time for the 4th Annual Shamrock Shuffle 5K Run Walk and 1K Leprechaun Chase. St. Patrick's School and Corpus Christi communities will be celebrating St. Patty's Day with this annual fundraising event. The date is Saturday, March 17th, and it begins at 601 North Water Street. Children 8 and under will be enjoying chasing the leprechaun to the pot of gold for a gold medal. The 5K run walk for mostly adults will proceed through the scenic route of our beautiful Corpus Christi Bay. There'll be food trucks, bagpipes, Irish dancing, a costume contest, and much more. It'll be a great day of fun, fitness, and fellowship. For more information, including how to register to participate in the Run Walk, please call Lee Walsh at St. Patrick's School, 852-1211.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, as has been our tradition for the past several years, on the first Sunday of the month, we have our Focolare Word of Life. And this month is an especially beautiful one, one of the Psalms, Bishop.
Right. It's from Psalm 25, and the verse is verse 4. Make me know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. King David, who was also a prophet, wrote this psalm at a time when he felt weighed down by anguish and poverty and endangered from his enemies. He wanted to find a way out of his painful situation, but realized he was completely unable to do so. Therefore, he looked up with hope toward the God of Israel, who had always protected his people, and implored him to come to his aid. This month's Word of Life draws our attention to the fact that he was asking to know the ways and paths of the Lord, to shed light on the choices he had to make, especially at difficult times. The verse again, make me know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Sometimes in life, we too have to make decisive choices. It can be totally absorbing to have to do so, and it can help us to think deeply about what our conscience suggests is the right way forward. It could be that we have many paths to choose from and are uncertain about which is the best. At other times, we may feel there is no path at all. Wanting to find a way ahead is a strong human need, and so sometimes we ask help from those we consider our friends. Christian faith makes us become friends with God. He is a Father who loves us. He knows us through and through and wants to accompany us on our journey. Every day, God invites us to set out freely on an adventure. Our compass is unselfish love for Him and all His children. The ways and paths are opportunities to meet other travelers and find new goals that can be shared. Christians are never isolated individuals, but part of a people traveling towards the fulfillment of the plan of God the Father for humankind. Through all He said and did, Jesus revealed God's plan to bring about universal fraternity, the civilization of love. The verse again, make me know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. The Lord's ways can be daring and at times may seem too challenging for us, like rope bridges stretching between high cliffs. They challenge our selfish habits, our prejudices, and false humility, and instead create opportunities for dialogue, encounter, and commitment to the common good. Above all, they call for a love that is ever new and capable of forgiving, because it is founded on the rock of God's love and faithfulness to us. This ever new love is essential if we are to build just and peaceful relationships among peoples and nations. Even the witness given by a simple but authentic deed done with love can give others the light to see their way forward. At a gathering in Nigeria, when both children and adults were sharing their experiences of loving according to the gospel, a little girl called Maya said, "Yesterday, when we were playing, a boy pushed me and I fell over. He said, 'Sorry,' and I forgave him." Those words touched the heart of a man whose father was killed by Boko Haram. I looked at Maya. If a little girl like her can forgive, it means that I can do the same, the man said. The verse, make me know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. If we want a sure guide on our journey, let's remember that Jesus said, I am the way. When Kiara Lubick spoke to young people gathered in Santiago de Compostela during the 1989 World Youth Day, she encouraged them by saying, "By describing himself as the way, Jesus was saying, we must take the same way as he did. We could therefore say that the way Jesus followed has a name. It is love. The love that Jesus lived and brought on earth is special and unique. It is the same ardent love that burns in God. But who should we love? Our first duty, of course, is to love God. Then love our neighbor, every neighbor. From the moment we wake up in the morning until we go to sleep at night, every relationship with our neighbor should be lived with this love. Whether we are at home, at college, at work, on a sports field, on vacation, in church, or on the street, we should take advantage of every opportunity to love, seeking Jesus in our neighbors, neglecting no one, and being the first to love. This means entering as far as possible into the minds and hearts of others, truly understanding their problems, needs, and troubles, as well as their joys, so that we can share everything with them. In the way, we have to become that other person, just as Jesus, who was God, became a man out of love. Then our neighbors will feel understood and supported because someone is helping them bear the burdens and pains and share in their joys. Living the other person, living the others, this is the great ideal, and this is amazing."
Bishop, as I was reading this with you, because I had read it the first time, it struck me so much that this message is so much of what we are doing during this season of Lent, about the love and opening in our hearts and changing our ways.
Right, and it's certainly true, you know, for Lent, but I think it's also, of course, Lent is a preparation for the rest of the year.
Of course, yes.
For our life, and it certainly is a call to us to continue that love, that forgiveness, whatever it is, whatever the way is in that given day and time, to follow that throughout the course of our day. And this is, we also mature in that love that Jesus gave us. It's not an act of love only. It certainly is an act towards someone, a smile, the help, or act of forgiveness, as the little girl in Nigeria did. But it's also it's a formation of the human person, so that we become more and more a person of love and forgiveness and peace for others. So it certainly is the journey that we're on.
Right, right. Yes, the journey. We don't stop loving after Lent.
Right,
it continues
right.
to be a process. But I thought it was interesting on the very beginning also of this is that we have so many paths to choose from and are mm-hmm. uncertain about which is best. I was just having a conversation with some people that were talking about conflicting priorities, and it's that you sometimes don't know which way to go and what to do.
Yeah. And that's the big problem, I think, today is that people have so many choices, and we're so accustomed, you know, even in the grocery store, just to go and, you know, the other day I was in, I just wanted a little bottle of ketchup or something, a small one, and you just your eyes just have to go up and down like you're reading a book, you know. There's so many choices and so many different brands and so many, you know, some spicy, some not, some organic, some not, and it's just, and that's just, you know, a product.
Right.
But when you think of moral choices, when you think of personal choices, when you think of different opportunities, it can be, you know, quite disturbing. And of course, the voices of the world today can be alluring and tempting into a path of life that's not good for us. It may seem to be in the moment like something I want to do and try and experiment with, but I think we've lost some of the ability to be objective and to look further down the road mm-hmm. and to see where is this going to lead. And I think that's where this Word of Life for March, as you said, is so beautiful. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. So it's not something that just naturally comes from me, but I have to ask that prayer to show me your way, teach me your paths. And then I have to be mature enough to humble myself and look for those ways. And there, I mean, if it is the way of love, as she says here, if it is that way of love, we'll know that this is the right way. Mm-hmm. We may not get all the instant gratification that we would expect in the other way, but we know that when there's that peace in our hearts, we'll know that this is the right way.
Well, and exactly, because she says that here, the Lord's ways can be daring and at times may seem too challenging. They challenge our selfish habits, our prejudices, and false humility, mm-hmm. and create opportunities for dialogue, encounter, and commitment of the common good. Because we have, as you said, we have information overload, and it comes so fast.
Right.
And you see one or two sentences, and you immediately make a judgment.
Right.
And
right.
we need to see the whole story and be able to think.
Well, and two, that
creatively.
Yeah, right. And then we would say that more broad, expansive view of why we're here on Earth. When she cites here the words universal fraternity and a civilization of love, I don't think our hearts burn for those things. You know, it's when I'm at the center of my life, then I do what's good for me. Kind of this relativistic approach to life. So if it's good for me, I can claim it good, and so it's okay. But we have to look beyond ourselves. We're part of a bigger picture. We're part of a humanity that is so diverse. But we do need to work for universal brotherhood, sisterhood, fraternity, and what Pope Paul VI, who will be a saint year, will be made a saint this year. He spoke of a civilization of love, not just people, but a whole civilization transformed by this power of love. So that's what our goal is. That's what Jesus came on earth for. And it starts with our own purification, our own redirecting our paths along the way of God and His will. And we can see if we do that, that there will be a change within our own household, for one thing, in our neighborhood, etc., to bring about God's civilization back on this earth.
Thank you, Bishop. And if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Certainly. Let us pray. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on the confession of our lowliness, that we, who are bowed down by our conscience, may always be lifted up by your mercy. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
God bless all of you.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.